It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Ah, yes, welcome in. Weekend kickoff 1320 WILS. I'm Dave Benton, your host, alongside Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer on a snowy Saturday morning. Hopefully you're driving safe wherever you may be driving, or just kind of sitting and staying toasty on this Saturday morning. Become a fan of us on Facebook at 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. One of these days, Scott, I will get that it's fan, not friend, when you're talking about a show. You can also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. And also, we are streaming on live at 1320WILS.com. Got a great show planned for you. Scott did an excellent job this week with guests and stuff. Jeremy Sampson will join us, as usual, at 8:50 from WILX. He does a sports blitz every Friday night. We'll talk some high school basketball. At 9:30, one of my favorite players from Central Michigan over the last decade or so, Frank Zombo, who was never really given the credit he was due because he played back when Dan Bazine did and stuff, but now a linebacker with the Green Bay Packers, going to be in the Super Bowl next week. He will talk with us at 9:30 about the Super Bowl experience. We'll also talk with former MSU linebacker Greg Jones. He's down at the Senior Bowl in Florida trying to up his draft stock. He'll visit in with us at 10 o'clock. And then Joe Rexrode from the Lansing State Journal will be with us at 10:30. Talking about the debacle that was Michigan State on Thursday, and in fact, just the debacle that is Michigan State in this entire season, and that's where we start. And I'll be honest with you, the way we plan this show is Scott and I basically throughout the week, as sports stuff happens, we say, I think this could be a lead, I think we can talk about this, so on and so forth. Around 7 o'clock Thursday night, it was very clear that Corey Lucius being dismissed from the team was going to be the lead of this show. Around 7:20, 7:25, it became very apparent that Corey Lucius was no longer the biggest story going on starting Saturday morning. It was the Michigan State game. And the bottom line is, Michigan State was a debacle in this game. And let's give Michigan its due before we rip into Michigan State and the problems that they have, because Michigan looked good. And part of the reason Michigan State looked so bad was because Michigan executed. Michigan hit their shots, Michigan executed their screens, and they played better than Michigan State. And as I was watching this game, when it first started, I was like, okay, this is still advantage Michigan State. Because yes, Michigan started hot, they were hitting their threes, but Michigan State was answering with twos. And I thought, once Michigan slows down, this game could get pretty even, and then I think Michigan State can take over. But as soon as Michigan State fell back into that team that they've done time and time again this year, where they start just jacking up threes, I knew it was all over. And so about 10 minutes into this game, even when the score was relatively close, I never felt like Michigan State was going to win the game. And let's give the crowd credit. The crowd was in it the entire time. At one point in the game, I was doing some work while I was on the TV in the background, and Kalen Lucas gets an N1 in the second half, and the crowd explodes. And I'm thinking, wow, they must have just tied the game. I must have just not been paying attention. Look at the score, and they're down 11 points. Okay, it was that type of game that the crowd was trying to keep Michigan State in it so it didn't turn into a rout. And we can talk X's and O's if you want to. At some point today, we can talk X's and O's. If you want to call in 393-3700, tell me I'm wrong, go for it. But at this point, it's way beyond a few missed assignments on defense. This MSU team is in big trouble. And I'm not sure that they can get out of it like they usually do. I mean, we talked about expectations last week, and I said that I didn't think maybe it was fair upon further review that we ranked Michigan State number two starting this year. On paper, yes. They made a Final Four, bring almost everybody back, but long story short from the argument last week, they really didn't look that good at the end of last season, and they got lucky to get to the Final Four. So was the ranking fair? Probably not. But to not make the tournament at all this year? Nobody expected that. And you can be in denial all you want. This team is very, very close to missing out on the tournament. Okay, there's 10 games left in this season. Five of those should be winnable games. Indiana, Iowa twice, Penn State, and then Michigan. But you also have five games on that schedule that, until Michigan State shows me something new, are losses. At Wisconsin, at Ohio State, Illinois, at Minnesota, and Purdue. That puts you at 5-5 to end the year, which means you are now 17-13. You've lost 9 of the last 14 games of your season, and your last meaningful win was in early January against Wisconsin. If that's any other team besides Michigan State, we're not even in bubble talk at that point. You're deciding whether you want to go to the NIT or not. Now, they may end up getting in because they had a difficult strength of schedule. Their RPI will probably be a little bit higher because of that. And they're Michigan State, and that carries some weight, much like an Arizona does or something of that nature. But 17-13 going into the Big Ten tournament, outside of winning the Big Ten tournament, I don't think they deserve to get in. And you can be upset with me all you want. That is the reality. Okay, I'm not a Spartan. It's not my job to sit here and tell you that everything's going to be okay. It's my job to give you some perspective because I'm not from Michigan State. I'm not a Spartan fan. I'll root for them, but I'm not diehard Spartan, and I can look at things from a realistic standpoint. And from a realistic perspective, this team showed a lot of problems and concerns in that loss to Michigan that I'm not sure show that they can have a revival. Number one, Tom Izzo, guys, he looks defeated. And you can say what you want about Tom Izzo, and I always point this out. I think Tom Izzo is a top three coach in the nation. Okay, so don't think I don't like Tom Izzo. Don't think I don't realize how good of a coach Michigan State has at Tom Izzo. He's done some fantastic things. But I looked on the bench and on the sideline and in the timeouts during that Michigan game. And you know what I thought about? It reminded me of Roy Williams towards the end of last year at North Carolina. Now, Tom Izzo is not giving up on this team. And he's not going to give up on this team. So in that capacity, it's better than the Roy Williams situation because Roy Williams flat out gave up on his team. But just look at him. You can tell he's out of ideas with this team. Doesn't know whether to yell, have a heart-to-heart talk. He has no idea. And furthermore, the players seem defeated. Okay, if you go on Facebook, Scott has some excellent audio from Draymond Green and a bunch of other players. And frankly, Draymond Green says in his interview, when asked, what is it that you have to do to turn this team around? And when you hear this answer, there's problems.
I keep going hard each and every day. You know, and tonight, you know, we still missed some good shots. We just gotta keep going hard. Can't lose confidence. Once confidence is gone, everything is gone.
That, to me, does not sound like somebody who is in the thought process of this season is going to turn around. When your answer to how do you turn this season around is just got to keep going, got to keep showing up, that's not good. I got a solution, number one, of how you can turn things around. Look at your depth. You've got to cut down the players that can't compete at this level. Okay, the bottom line is, and I know that Corey Lucius puts you in a bind, and we will touch on Corey Lucius, trust me. We're going to get to him. Not right now. I think Michigan State is a more important issue, but we will get to Corey Lucius and what he's done to the depth on this team. But if you look at this team, and I know Tom Izzo likes playing with large rotations, you have 7, possibly 8 guys that can compete in this rotation. And the bottom line is, as long as you're playing with guys that can't compete at this level, it's going to hurt you on the floor. Okay, you can win with smaller rotations. Ohio State has done it. There were a couple really good St. John's teams back in the late 90s, early 2000s, played with 6-man rotations. Why? Because the head coach Mike Jarvis knew he didn't have a 7th or 8th guy that could compete at the level that those guys could. And they made an Elite Eight with that. You can compete at this level, but if you look at this rotation, you've got Lucas, Summers, Green, Rowe, and Appling. Those are your competitors on the high level. Then you've got Payne, Nix, and Sherman. And at certain points, I watch them and I say, I'm not sure that they should be on the floor. I'm not sure that they can compete at this level. But when you play Austin Thornton and Mike Keebler, that's not helping your team, especially if a guy like Keebler does things like I saw against Michigan, where he's taking it to the hole by himself with 15 seconds left on the shot clock. A guy like Mike Keebler should not be taking the ball to the hole with 15 seconds on the shot clock. Now, if you want to play Keebler to steal some minutes for Kalen Lucas now that Lucius is gone, I understand that. But when you play like that, that hurts your team. And Austin Thornton, good Lord, how many times does a guy have to show he can't play on this level before you decide that you're not going to play him anymore? I'm done even getting upset with Austin Thornton, because at some point, you have to, the coach has to sit there and say, okay, this guy can't play and I need to pull him. What's the player going to do if you keep playing him? What is he going to say? No, coach, I don't want the PT. Okay, I don't want it. At some point, the coach has to be the bigger man and say, thanks for working so hard in practice, but you can't play at this level and we got to stop playing you, because it's hurting this Michigan State team. Another concern, I don't see any leadership on this team. And I know Draymond Green is a quote-unquote leader, but I don't see a Travis Walton type of personality on this team. If Travis Walton was on that floor, okay, you're down 10 to Michigan, I don't even think Tom Izzo has a chance to talk in a timeout, because Travis Walton's sitting there saying, we're losing by 10 to Michigan at home. Let's get it together. I didn't see that. I didn't see that from anybody. And so you can say that Draymond Green is a leader, and I think he is to a certain point. But everybody has to follow, and I don't see them doing that. And you can't just call team meetings. You can't do that. There's got to be something more. There's got to be players taking responsibility and calling people out on certain plays. Finally, the defense is awful. Okay, that's another point that we just got to get. No perimeter D. You're playing Michigan, who does nothing but shoot threes, and your perimeter D was atrocious. And I'll be honest, I watched the game again because I thought the one thing they did well on first look was I thought they did fairly well against Darius Morris. But then I looked at the box score and I said, wow, he had 17 points and 8 assists. And then I watched the game again and I said, you know what? They didn't do a good job against Darius Morris. He did basically anything he wanted. Used a lot of the double teams and stuff to free up Zach Novak so he could hit threes. Okay? They got killed on backdoor cuts. They got killed on screens. They were awful defensively, and they've got to shape that up. And finally, these players have no identity to them. Darrell Summers, for some reason, thinks he's solely a sharpshooter at this point in the season. And he's even proving it to the point that when he does drive to the hole, he airballs layups. Okay? He has to fix that. He's one of the most athletic players in the country. And to just sit outside and shoot threes and let that be your game and decide whether you're going to be a factor or not is a problem. Darrell Summers should be making layups and building up his confidence to shoot threes. Instead, if he bricks one or two threes, he just disappears on the night. Draymond Green doesn't know whether he should be Raymar Morgan or Andre Hudson. And that's a huge problem because he's in between positions, has no idea what his identity is. Payne is confused at why he's on the court at this point. Okay, he looks like Darko Milicic when Darko Milicic played for the Pistons. He has no idea where he's supposed to stand on the court. And I understand he was injured. I understand he's still learning the offense and he's a freshman. But now that Corey Lucius is gone, now that your depth is even smaller, guys like Payne have to step up and be key contributors to this team. This team has a lot of holes. A lot of holes. And I'm not sure that they can pull out of this in time to make it to the tournament. Okay, when we come back, I want to give Michigan some credit. I want to give them their due. Okay, we talk a lot about how Michigan doesn't really have any talent, blah, 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 blah. I want to give them credit where credit's due, and also I want to get Scott's opinion on this whole Michigan State debacle. But he was there. He talked to him in the locker room. He saw the somber locker room. We'll talk about that next. Weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.